And then he said, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills.
I can't catch a break, guys.
Yeah.
Get them the fuck away from me. I can't be around those guys.
People think, oh, well, cleaning your room, that's just a cliche. It's like, yeah, really, eh? Just go ahead and try it.
If people had any idea how powerful sleep is for healing from anything, and the fact that it's free.
My mind is absolutely bulletproof, solid as a rock.
Podcast.
Alright guys, welcome to another episode of the Fighting Fit Show. Today's episode is going to be around the topic of sleep, particularly in relation to fitness and fat loss. I'm here with Chris and Brandon. So guys, we're going to get started on sleep. What do you think is the number one thing people need to know about sleep?
You need it.
You need a lot of it. How much sleep do people need?
Depends on the person, but typically 8 hours. 8 hours would be ideal. 8 hours of good quality sleep.
And define good quality sleep.
Going to bed at 10:30, going to bed with the sun, waking up with the, or going to bed when the sun goes down, getting up when the sun comes up.
So you're basically saying linking them with your circadian rhythm. Circadian yeah. rhythm meaning?
Circadian rhythm is your body clock basically. So it usually times itself with the rise and fall of the sun.
And do you think that is one of the key reasons why, for example, shift workers or night workers struggle to maintain a healthy weight?
Yes, absolutely. There's so much to say about shift workers. If you look into the cancer studies and all that jazz to do with shift workers and just the stress levels, cortisol levels and all that jazz, their metabolisms are all out of whack, like completely. I don't understand why some people do shift work.
It's a necessity.
Torture. It is a necessity, absolutely. It just doesn't seem like the right thing for me.
I would say it could be something along the lines of...
Sorry to interject, Brian, just to finish that off. So is it just the night workers? So not necessarily shift work, but night working, essentially.
Yeah, there are night owls and there are early birds. Like, there are those different types of people. But, like, most people are not night owls. Like, it's a rare individual who is a night owl.
It's more so people call themselves a night owl because of a really poor nighttime routine.
Exactly.
And just can't shut off.
Exactly. And even at that, it's like a night owl is not someone who stays awake all night. Like, no one really stays awake all night. That's
what I would say could be a problem. I would say it's something along the lines of if you are doing shift work, you're not necessarily, like, I would say it's possible to be completely healthy and do shift work at nighttime if you're gonna routinize. Because the problem is that if you're not routinized and you know you're trying to play catch up with everybody during the day, well then you're stretching yourself too thin. Because I have heard in Aubrey Marcus. Own the day, own your life. He was basically saying that necessarily doesn't really matter when you sleep, but that over the course of a week that you get your allotted hours in. So for talk's sake, like if you're doing a shift work, it's like, and you only get 4 hours, you better make sure that you get those 4 hours back. Mm. You know, it's like, because you know people have been known to have all kinds of routines and all kinds of different cultures, and it completely works for them. But it's that they do, like, maybe they're not under as much external pressure because it's a little bit more lax, like, they, you know, they can get up and go do their bit of work and come home and have 4 hours sleep. And in Spain and all, they can have siestas and they're all perfectly healthy and all that kind of stuff. So I would say that it's more along the lines of being on a night shift and still trying to keep up with everybody who's doing the day thing. Yeah. And then you end up, with an overall lack of sleep. And I'd say that's the main thing to get. Same with exercise. It's like, you don't necessarily, and nutrition, you don't necessarily need the best and the best and the most optimal, but you need consistency and overall you need that volume.
On that point, that's what I was going to say, is that the main reason I think shift work is bad is because it messes with the circadian rhythm. Because if someone who does shift work or someone who does nights, it's not that they do nights all the time. Mm. It's that they have periods where it's like they're on days and then they're on nights, and it's that shift from going from days to nights for a period of about 2 weeks or even 3 weeks or whatever it is, it's like that messes with your circadian rhythm, and then to have to switch back, like just like going through jet lag,
all the time.
Exactly. And it's the switch that gives the trouble.
It's same for me. Like, I know we do switch shifts here. We don't do night shifts, but like one morning I could be up at like 4 o'clock, and the next day I could be up, I might not have to get up till 10. But the big thing is that, like, I am disciplined and routine with it. So it's like it's not as if I go, well, hey, you know what, I can stay up all night because I'm not until 11 and I'll get my poor 6 hours sleep. It's like I generally will catch up, and I don't feel a lag, you know, because I make sure that I try and get to bed at the same time regardless, and then I am catching up for my sleep. And even, look, if I did only get 5 hours sleep one day, it's like, I don't really think that that's overall that bad, because I don't feel any kind of real degradation, but I do feel it when the volume of sleep isn't there. You know,
that is one of the tips from the expert. Regardless of what's happening, regardless whether you're in work at 6 a.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever the thing is, that you go to bed consistently at the same time and get up consistently at the same time. I think it was Jordan Pearson also talks about that in relation to just having a good routine and how it's related to depression and mood and that kind of stuff as well.
First thing, if you are feeling like you're down, like if you are feeling like you have no motivation, if you are feeling like you have no energy and all that sort of stuff, you've just no pep in your step, like start looking at your sleep, set a bedtime for 10:30 if you can, and then get up at about 7 o'clock. That's like ideal. It's ideal for the majority of people.
Yeah.
So try that before anything else, before you start looking at drugs and all that stuff.
Because what a...
Well, like your SSRIs and all that stuff as well.
Yeah, because what a lot of people would do is they almost act as if their shift workers Monday to Friday then versus the weekend. So it's like Monday to Friday because they're up at, say, 7, 8 a.m. You know, they're going to bed 10, 11, maybe 12 p.m. during the week. And then all of a sudden on Friday and Saturday nights, now they're staying up till 2, 3, 4 a.m. You know, and then so they're putting themselves through that constant switch.
I do it all the time. It really affects the next few days. Like,
yeah.
staying up playing games late is not...
One of the biggest problems, I would say, I think it was from the same book, Aubrey Marcus, Own a Day, Own Your Life, really recommend the book, it's like, we all know this person who is tired all day and in the nighttime can't sleep. That is insane. Like, that literally doesn't make sense. Like, with the way that was put to me, I'd say it again, is like, when you're tired all day but can't sleep at night, does not make sense. It's like, that's...
Tony, what's the solution?
Well, I think,
I would say there's a skill involved in switching nervous systems, switching from your sympathetic nervous system into your parasympathetic nervous system. So like when you learn to meditate, you're learning to do that as well. You're learning to switch off to wind down and all that jazz. And a lot of people, they just don't know how to switch off. Like, they find themselves in bed overthinking.
And
just in this.
And then another thing is like they jack themselves up with caffeine and cigarettes.
Yeah. They're all stimulants.
Yeah, and so just to segue on to caffeine, caffeine and sleep. I know
a guy, and he basically, we were joking about the narcos, 180 milligrams of caffeine. He's like, oh, take one of these, and it just sends me right off to sleep.
Yeah, so
some people don't have a tolerance, don't have a tolerance, and mentally, you know, they can go to sleep, but physically, their adrenal systems are still kind of switched on, so maybe the quality of sleep isn't what it could be.
Well, no, on top of that, there is something to be said that different people metabolize caffeine differently. Like, some people actually don't feel the effects of caffeine, and there's, I forget what the actual chemistry is, but there is a few pathways that happen that make sure that the caffeine isn't as effective in them. So it won't affect them that much in sleep, but they won't get that kick out of it either.
And so, but
it's not a tolerance thing, but a tolerance thing is a tolerance that's built up over time. This is like a genetic difference where they metabolize the caffeine actually in a different way.
A different pathway.
So yeah, someone else.
But is that also the same way as, like, we were talking before, because you said that there's three different types of sleep, light sleep, deep sleep, and
REM sleep.
Just because they're getting in the time, are they getting the quality?
Yeah, that would be a factor as well. But from the book I've listened to, Why We Sleep, it is that those people, like, the caffeine is metabolized differently.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I did hear was that REM sleep, or maybe I'm wrong, I don't necessarily know the details of it, but basically it says something along the lines of, with your circadian rhythm, your synchronicity with the sun, the moon, the stars going down, lights engaging with your brain and all this kind of stuff, natural light and how it affects you, is that when the sun goes down around that 10:30 mark or 10 o'clock mark, is that your body switches into its sleep-wake cycle first phase, which is body repair. And that if you're not in bed around that time, that you miss it anyway. So it's like, once 10 o'clock hits, or in around, obviously it's only rough enough, but around that time, that your body is engaged, is going through that phase anyway, and if you're not asleep, well then you're going to miss that phase, and then come, you know, 12, 1, 2, when you do go to sleep, you're in a mental repair state, because I think maybe the physical repair is a shorter phase, and then the longer time slot, let's say it's 8 hours, 2 to 3 hours physical repair, and then the latter then is going to be mental repair. Is the bigger chunk is taking off for the mental repair, so prioritize that. So maybe if you're not getting to bed on time, you might feel that physical drag, maybe especially when you're working out, you're going to feel fatigued because you're not getting the quality of sleep physically.
You're not, essentially, your body just isn't recovering optimally from the workout.
Yeah.
Because people forget that the exercise is stress. Yeah. Everyone forgets that. It's like, although, listen, we all love working out, but we have to understand that it's a stress. When we lift weights, when we do high intense exercise, we're breaking down our muscle tissues. We need to give our body, because what people want to do is they want to compound stress on top of stress.
We do live in a society that does promote, you know,
it glorifies that.
Glorifies, you know, hustling. It glorifies being in that parasympathetic nervous system. Or sorry, they say it glorifies the sympathetic nervous system.
I think that's good, but I think that's
because stress makes you grow.
I think that's a perspective issue as well. It's like you could hustle to sleep. You know, it's like I'm getting my hustle on by literally making sure that everything is out of the way and that my sleep's a priority, which is kind of like an outlook that I take. And it's like, look, you got to hustle, but you got to make sure that your hustle's done by a certain amount of time.
That you're working smart as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not just about redlining the whole thing.
Just on that, some practical advice to get into the parasympathetic nervous system.
Or
rest and digest. Yeah, so actually that might be a little bit easier. So there's fight or flight mode or there's rest and digest mode. So a lot of people spend too much time in fight or flight mode. You've caffeine, you've stimulants like that there, I'll put you in that jacked up sort of state. You want to switch over to rest and digest. How you do that would be meditation, journaling, going for walks, being around nature, stuff like that there would really, really help you. Napping is a really good one as well. Hot baths. Or taking time to just do stuff that you like to do that's not stressful. Maybe it's drawing, maybe it's something like that, reading a book. But as long as it's like a wind down sort of thing, that will really, really help your recovery. Yoga would be a really, really good one. Pilates, I find Pilates to be a bit stressful, but I do always feel rejuvenated after it. Maybe.
I think it's kind of Pilates like driving a car. It's like the first few times that you get in there, you're going to be engaged in all kind of things. After a while, it's like you have to be competent with it. You know, you have to, there is a learning curve. And then once you get into the right state of mind and you understand, okay, this is how you engage, it does become easy. The reason it's so stressful is because, you know, you're not used to it. Same as running.
True.
You know, running.
And I think it's also important to differentiate that there's a huge variety of different types of yoga. You know, it's like, you say yoga in general term, but like, you know, there's power yoga. There is all these yang types of yoga, these kind of stress, kind of high, still high energy types of yoga, but then there's also the yin style yoga where it's like the yin classes, or there's even things like sleep yoga and all this kind of stuff too. So just important to make that differentiation. As I assume there's different types of Pilates classes and stuff as well.
Yeah, actually, being honest with that, there's the yin, the yang, sort of duality sort of thing. Like your nervous system is literally adapted to it, which is pretty cool. Like the fight or flight is what's yin?
Yin is the kind of the relaxing.
Okay, what's the yang would be the fight or flight?
The kind of stress.
I always kind of imagine it's like yang.
Yin, so it's yin. Because a lot of people say, I said before, yin and yang, but it's yin and yang.
So but that's really cool. The fight or flight and the rest and the jazz, yin and yang.
So any other kind of helpful tips? So just so people can kind of get that sleep. So obviously I think like a nighttime routine is important, just as important, if not even more important than a morning routine, because like your day should start the night before. Gym
rules. Best of luck following your morning routine if your nighttime routine is fucked.
Because as you said, like one of the key things that people do wrong is they're waking up tired, and then has a transfer across to willpower, and then it's like you're going to always look for the quick energy fix, as you said. If you have like a choice between, you know, preparing a nice healthy meal that might only take 10-15 minutes, you're going to go for the bar of chocolates in the fridge instead.
It's quick energy. Yeah. Exactly. Like it'll make you want that caffeine more in the morning. Like one of the things that you should do as well to have to take a step back from the stress as well, because caffeine does put a stress on your body, it would be like have a glass of water in the morning before you have your coffee and see if you still want the coffee after. Like, but when I say glass, like have close to a pint of water. Like don't down it, like have it slowly throughout your morning. That should be a good thing.
You know, imagine we were sitting here right now, right, for 8 hours wrapped in a blanket, right? Imagine how hot and toasty you're going to get and you don't drink that whole time. It's like we wake up and we feel this fatigued, drained state. Aubrey Marcus, on your day, on your life. Again, this is what he says. He says it's like that when you wake up, some of the fatigue and craving for energy is actually just, it's dehydration.
It's like really interesting. Yeah, and just on that, as you said, kind of warm and toasty, and kind of you're warm and toasty all night. Another really effective good thing to know about sleep is temperature.
Yeah,
we need to be like, you sleep much better in a cool room. I think it's in Celsius, I think it's about 18 degrees Celsius. around that?
Oh, I'm not sure of the things, but you, still, your core body temperature does need to drop by a few degrees. So that's your core body temperature is 37 degrees.
That's why I sleep with one leg out, one arm out.
But there is something you can get, it's called a chili pad. And the chili pad, essentially, you can get them sold, like, so obviously, because particularly if most people might be in a relationship, and it's like, if you're on one side of the bed, so two people like different temperatures, you know, usually the women like to be nice and warm, usually the lads are the ones sticking the arms and legs, we like to be a little bit cooler in general. But these kind of chili pads are things you can buy, they actually are quite expensive, I get it.
What do you think that is? I think it's a muscle mass thing.
I think it could be a muscle mass thing, maybe it's just kind of an overall higher BMR.
Oh, I read about this article about women complaining in offices saying that the aircon was sexist because the aircon was set for the optimal temperature for men in the office rather than women.
Okay,
the women run a little bit, I think it's a little bit hotter, so they're complaining that it was cold, something like that.
Yeah, so
that
I always want to be a little bit cooler, but there you go.
Yeah, so
that's exactly it. Like it was optimized for men to be cooler.
Yeah,
and the women were complaining that they were cold.
I think you said the opposite. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so it does say, so I think that was correct. So it says the best temperature for toddlers in particular here, it says, is 18 to 21 degrees.
There you go.
Which is something to...
Which is strange, because normally, you know, coldness wakes you up and heat lulls you to sleep.
But, it's kind of like that thing. It's like, that. Everyone loves, not everyone, maybe, but a lot of people love, you know, the cool side, the cold side of the pillow.
Yeah,
I love a nice cool.
I have a cool point on that, okay? So, a lot of people, when they go to bed, they...
cool side of the pillow.
You ever see that Family Guy?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
one of the reasons why people say, I'll have a nice hot bath before you go to bed, I'll help you relax, help you fall asleep. It's not the hot bath that actually puts you to sleep. It does help ease you into that parasympathetic nervous system or the rest and digest it. But when you get out of the bath, you have this massive heat dump because you're so hot. And it's that change from a hot temperature to a cold temperature.
So
the
same
way from day to night. When the temperature drops, your body goes, it's time to start winding down. And your cold body temperature drops, start shutting down.
Oh God, right, okay. Well then,
I would recommend a hot shower or a hot bath before you go to bed.
Now you're counterintuitive for me, because then if you cool down the room, would that not increase your body's temperature?
Well, it would. So you want to drop your core body temperature. That's
and then, but then if you cool down the room, would that not?
So yeah, your body is always trying to achieve homeostasis, but it's just what does put you to sleep is the transition from hot to cold. So okay. It can be. It doesn't really matter what the. Well, it does matter, but like if you're going from hotter to colder, that's the main thing.
And that's why you say cold showers to wake up, is it?
Yeah.
That's cool, okay. Energize, get the blood flow going, okay, cool.
Yeah, and so just to clarify that as well, so it's 18 to 21 degrees for babies and toddlers, but it's 15 to 19 degrees Celsius for adults, so in around that kind of 18 degrees.
Cool.
So any other kind of usable tips for people?
Don't underestimate the power of like sleep tea and stuff like that there. Like having chamomile tea and stuff like that there. Don't underestimate the power of that and having that into your ritual. I try and avoid actual cups of tea because there is some caffeine in that there as well, and that will stimulate you a little bit.
Yeah, because I remember even one for me was I was having, they say that even while having like a can of Coke Zero, a Diet Coke, and there's caffeine in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Eliminate all caffeine after, I think it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Even at that, once it's 2 o'clock, caffeine, because caffeine has a half-life of around 7 to 9 hours. So if you don't know what that means, if you have, let's say, a knocko at about 2 o'clock, right, there's 180 milligrams of caffeine. 7 to 9 hours later, you're going to get 90 milligrams of caffeine.
Yes, so you still
have
to have
a cup of
caffeine
coffee
in your system.
Exactly.
7 to 9 hours later.
Exactly. But it's like it's not just that you've half the caffeine in your system. It's like you get that effect 7 to 9 hours later.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something as well, kind of about the mindset of a poor nighttime routine. And it's kind of like, I think that if you have a mindset of whereby come 9, 10 o'clock, well, so here's a couple of things. It's like, I've had a conversation with a few people and they've basically said, you know what it is, like, they're chilling out, they're downstairs, they're watching Netflix, and they're like, and then they get to bed, they're like, actually, do you know what it is, this is so comfy, I have to roll over now and go straight to sleep. It's like, I wish I had a chill out here another while longer. So it's a little bit of a falsehood. It's kind of, it's like this, I don't really want to go to bed. It's like, I think most people do enjoy when they're in bed. And then the other thing is the kind of
FOMO.
But it's that self-indulgent behavior where it's kind of like, I'm just going to enjoy myself as much as I can in this short period of 3 hours or whatever it is, and I'm going to try and extend.
Stretch it out as
I'm just going to enjoy myself as much as I can. And it's that same kind of habit loop that that causes people to constantly just self-indulge with sugar and skip the workout.
It's that short-term indulgence versus the long-term.
Yeah, it's like, where is it? Like, it's like I think,
sacrificing your future self. Like, so I'm thinking of how you feel tomorrow morning when you wake up.
I am just now in a good, like, I'm in such a good, like, I mean, if I go to bed at 12 o'clock, like, something has seriously went wrong. Like, Jane, like, 11 o'clock is really late for me now. Like, half 11, super late. So it's like, if I'm
feeling grown up.
Yeah, but no, but like, I mean, no, because like, I really enjoy it. Like, I really, like, if I'm in bed, like, I rarely am in bed for 10 o'clock, so it's half 10 to 11, that's my window. And it's like, now when I do that, it's like, I honestly just wake up. I'm not as, like, nearly as tired as I used to be. And it's just, it really is, it's a false economy, because people just, they want to, like, where you were miserable all day and you're enjoying that period of an extended evening for 3 hours, it's like you would enjoy your day and look forward to going to sleep if you just went to bed early for, you know, a week.
Mm. I actually seen a cool tweet from Wiz Khalifa there the other day, which was like, he used to think that going to bed late was cool until he realized that getting up early was the real gangster stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Because successful people, depending on what your definition of that is, have in common is a lot of my early risers. And to be an effective early riser, you have to go to bed at 10, because otherwise you're not getting your 6 to 8 hour sleep.
I think I read a thing. He was Mark
Wahlberg.
He goes to bed at like 9 p.m.
Yeah,
he gets up. Was it 4 o'clock?
He's up at like 4 a.m. Yeah. So it's like, if you're going to say, if you plan on getting up at 4, 5, 6 a.m., you better get.
But now there is something to be said. Like, if you're a night owl, like, that will mess with you a little bit.
Yeah, but see, yeah, I find that people are falsely define themselves. As
true. Do you know what? I'm not dismissing that. I absolutely think that's true. But like, if you are that night owl, you know, he's striving, he thinks that it's like, you know, the only way I can be successful is to get up at 4 a.m. It's like, that may be a little bit misguided.
Yeah, so true.
And then here's the thing.
I just think the key with the getting up early is you give yourself a couple of hours to work on yourself before the day actually begins. Yeah. So it's like, you're in the work. Most people are getting rolling out of bed and going straight to work. So it's like, if you have to leave the house at 8 a.m. for work and it takes you an hour to get ready, so that means you get up at 7 a.m. and all you're doing is getting ready before work. It's like, you should get up at 5:30 or 6 a.m. to give yourself an hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours to work out, to meditate, to, you know, to plan your day, to do these things that we know successful people do, to, again, work on yourself and empower yourself to have your best day.
Here's what I would say in terms of, so where is the early bird and night owl saying come from? So obviously I think the early bird thing is the first one, and then people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm not an early bird, so I'm a night owl. It's early bird gets the worm. So an early bird is someone who's productive early on in the morning. A night owl, I would then define as somebody who is productive at nighttime. So whether or not you're productive at nighttime would define whether or not you're a night owl, not just that you're up.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Okay. So you have a stinky sleep hygiene if you're up and been unproductive late at night.
I love using that terminology.
Love it.
Because let's define it again for people. So what does it mean to have that you're the stinky
sleep, poor sleep,
poor stinky sleep. Sleep hygiene.
Yeah, basically what it is that you don't have any kind of sleep routine. You know, so it's like that you're routinized into just, you're constantly tired.
Yeah.
You're constantly tired. You're never fresh, and sleep is obviously key for that. So it's like,
I mean, you've no good nighttime routine in terms of no solidified bedtime, no solidified routine in terms of like when you shut down. Like, one thing people I think falsely think is that when you go to bed you have to be asleep within 10-15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that's not. It's like, we should be going. At least 30 minutes before you expect to be asleep. The problem is we put too much pressure on ourselves, and I do it to myself all the time.
That's good.
It's like,
that's good.
When I'm in bed, it's like I expect to be asleep. I'm like, right, I need to be asleep, and I'm just putting all this pressure on myself to be asleep, rather than just be nice and cozy here in bed. You know what I mean? And what I've started
just
doing,
relax.
Like, just relaxing. So look, we want to relax.
But people need stimulus. So it's like, well, I'm on my phone or I'm on TV.
And that's a key point again, is the eliminating blue light exposure before sleep.
Yeah,
meaning no phone contact, no TV contact a certain period before bed. What is the recommendation? Is it 2 hours? Let's see if I can find something here.
But even for me, like, I find I go on my phone, like, literally, like, right up to sometimes 5 minutes before I go to sleep. I sleep no problem. It's because, like,
but the quality of sleep, that could be different. Yeah, yeah.
So
the blue light, it's like it just goes against the sun coming down. Like, that wasn't there. for biology adapting, do you get me? Wasn't it now? It might be changing now.
So would that be different if, just for talk's sake, if I had a fire lit phone? Like if my...
If the
light that came out of my phone was the equivalent to the same as a fire.
There is dark modes and stuff like that there that do filter out all the blue
my
light.
My phone has one as well.
So it actually would get you a lot.
I have mine on 24/7. It's all the time.
I do find that when mine's... I have mine set to switch at about 10 o'clock. I'm going to change it to 9, but I do find it's like that orange hue is just...
It's a blue light filter.
Yeah, it just annoys me.
Yeah.
Like the bit, what I think we should do now for the... Just for towards the end of the podcast is just come up with a good nighttime routine for everyone. So like one of them would be to shower, get a hot shower or a hot bath, maybe meditate.
I think it's important to just kind of touch on these things just a little bit deeper, because a lot of people will just immediately say, and I've seen in the group, you posted in our group the other day, and all you get straight away is, you know, I can't meditate. So like how do we frame meditation for people in terms of, you know, it's not something that's like the same with everyone else. Like just because you've done it once or twice doesn't necessarily mean that you're not good at it, and it's not necessarily supposed to be easy. I've meditated a significant amount of times, not perfectly, but it's like I get better and better all the time. You know what I mean? So I'm still getting better. I'm still improving.
There's a cool thing, and so basically, what I define meditation as, in my opinion, and I've listened to a few loads of different people, is like, and a couple of my favorites is even it's be present. So it's like, see, even when you listen to a meditation app, you're not meditating. Now you are to some extent, but it's like what you're supposed to do is just sit there and do nothing. Now if you're constantly someone who needs stimulus, well then it's like...
But it's like
if you have an app that reduces the amount of stimulus and helps you even just focus solely on one thing, it's like, well, now that one thing's not yourself, it's somebody else, and you'll drift in and out between yourself and that stimulus. But the best thing to do would be to sit there with nothing. Like literally nothing, and you can count it. But again, so you can count
let's not confuse optimal with progress.
Progress
is still using these apps.
What meditation is, it's being present. So it's like, to be fully present in the moment and in yourself would be no stimulus except for what's directly in front of you through your own window of eyes. And it's like, and to do nothing, reduce all the stimulus to the bare bones and just let yourself experience your mind. Yeah. And it's like, if you're doing that and someone's helping you and assisting, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's still what I use to meditate because I find it's the most helpful. I don't have the communication skills that they have, and you know, the script, and they have it really well timed off. But the big thing is like, be present. Be present and stop stressing. It's like the goal of meditation is there's no goal.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just interject on that? So the goal is to be present, and what meditation does is it gives you tools to be present by directing your focus.
Yeah.
It can direct your focus to be present. So one of the ways that you can be present in the moment is to focus on your breath. So a lot of meditation just starts off, get your focus to your breath. So as soon as people start doing it, like into your nose, out your mouth, long, deep, drawn out breaths, and then they get distracted.
Yeah.
Okay, and once they get distracted, they start going through these thoughts, like, I can't shut my brain off. The goal is not to turn your brain off, and that's a mistake that everyone makes. They're like, I can't shut off. It's like, don't shut off.
Those moments are distractions, are actually what it's about.
Yes,
like that's
exactly.
That's what you're supposed to be doing. And when you get into those moments, you're supposed to follow the thoughts.
Yeah, because meditation for me, again, is about mindfulness and focus. So it's like, but the thing is that you're training yourself to focus on one thing, not... Again, we were thinking about 10 things
and
at once.
And deal with the distractions. So the skill, because there's a cool app that I would recommend everyone get, Sam Harris, Waking Up with Sam Harris, or Headspace. I like the Waking Up with Sam Harris one better. I'm a little bit of a fan of Sam Harris.
I love the Headspace app.
And it gives you loads of lessons and all that stuff on meditation and how that works.
So it teaches you what you're doing and
exactly,
why you're doing.
Exactly, exactly. And but the main thing that you're getting to do is to increase your ability to focus, and there's a skill involved in getting distracted and then reining yourself back in from being distracted. So if you're meditating, Headspace explains this actually really well too, which is imagine you're sitting on the side of a road, you're breathing, okay, and then all of a sudden your thoughts start coming along. Your thoughts are these little cars that are driving alongside the road, and you want to run out after these cars, okay? Every single time you run out after the cars and you notice yourself running after the cars, stop. Turn around and walk to the side of the road and just focus on your breath again. And doing that's the skill when you're meditating. That's a skill you want to practice. to stop running out after the things and come back. And to practice that, you have to run out.
Some people get into the car and that's them gone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So don't be worried about your head not switching off. That's actually a really cool thing that you can use to benefit your meditation. So if you want to try it, just sit. It can be 30 seconds if you want, just breathe. Focus on your breath. If you can last all 30 seconds without getting lost in your mind, well, brilliant. If you get lost in your mind, as soon as you notice that you're lost, bring it right back to your breathing.
What you're saying is, again, there is a focus, and the focus is focus on your breath, because focusing on your breath is the best, I find, is the easiest way to become present.
Yeah, so, and there's a few other ways as well, which, like, one of the ones that I've seen people do this here as well, where all they do is focus on the sensation of the touch between their middle finger and their thumb, and they just touch that, and then that brings them into their presence. So then they start doing, so the way meditation usually goes is that they focus on their breath, and then it'll be like, okay, now I want you to just let the breath happen naturally after that. And then it's like, we're going to do a body scan, which will be, okay, how does your head feel? All I want you to do is notice how it feels to be in your head.
A body scan, from my experience, would be something like, you know, so it's like, relax your forehead.
Yeah.
Relax your eyelids. Well, relax your jaw. Relax your shoulders. So as you go through your different body parts, you start to notice that there's tension everywhere. Throughout your body.
So that's what when I was going to say. It's like the biggest thing about meditation to do is, regardless of what your method is, to stop getting frustrated. Stop. Like, if you can last 30 seconds frustration free, that's the point. It's to take your system down, and you'll know that you're kind of going off track and veering off a little bit if you get frustrated, and then you have to calmly bring yourself into a place that's not frustrated. And that's one thing, as I said, is that that's what the tension is. It's frustration.
So it's just going into your meditation, just your own commitment stuff, just going into their meditation sessions with zero expectation. And it's like, just put in the time. It's like, put 10 minutes, and listen, if you're getting distracted, stuff like that, that's fine. Every session, you'll get 1% better.
Yeah.
I mean, so just don't put too much pressure.
Well, I do notice sometimes that when I do meditate, it's like, oh, well, that was a waste of 10 minutes. Like, you do notice times like that there. But then there's other times you're like, thank God I bloody did that, because otherwise I would have had a terrible day.
Yeah.
Like, and you go into your day without that reset, it's like you just carry all the stuff with you.
Meditation. I really do find reading for me is a form of meditation.
Again, directing your anything can be
anything that involves focusing the mind.
Running for me is great meditation. Yeah.
And again, one last point then, just going to wrap this up in 2 minutes, is I find a brain dump is super effective before bed.
Yeah,
so what journaling. people have journaling. So people have so much happening in their mind all the time that what we need to do is we need to take these thoughts out of our mind, put them on paper. You know, maybe that's like writing a to-do list for tomorrow. So it's like you don't have to worry about it all night, that it's saved there on that piece of paper. So now I can almost give yourself permission to then forget about it. And then we can focus on going to sleep.
Why do you think that works?
Because otherwise, subconsciously, these things are just running through your mind all night, or kind of as you're kind of sitting there quiet, all these things come to the forefront.
Here's what I thought you were going to say was something along the lines of, like, action reduces anxiety.
Action alleviates anxiety.
So, yeah, exactly. So when you take that action to do that, you have the steps in place, you almost go like, oh, well, at least I know it's going to get handled now. And it allows you to step back.
I think action's a form of articulation. And that's the point. I really do think
people
get very, very arrogant in saying that they comprehend things and they understand them just inherently. And I think that really people, what they need to do is either talk. That's one of the reasons why prayer is such a big thing. It's like, that's really what it is, it's, look, whether you believe in a higher power or not, it's self-articulation. You're articulating the problem to yourself, laying out a goal for the future, where you'd like to be and what you'd like to happen.
And you're taking it, what would be better.
Exactly. And then communication with a spouse or significant other. People like to wind down by talking to each other, or exactly what you said, journaling things. So it's basically just putting your thoughts down, be a little bit humble and say, okay, maybe I don't understand how things are happening, why they're happening, and I just want to get it down in front of me. And maybe they're not as bad, and maybe I'm not as frustrated as a thing, and you know what, I just will lay it down and see how it
is. And just on top of that, when you do that and you go to sleep with those problems written out and articulated, your subconscious does work on those while you're asleep. Like, it absolutely, like, exactly, when you dream about that stuff and you solve all these different problems while you're asleep.
Yeah, that's one of the best piece of advice people ask, to sleep on it.
Yeah.
What do we need to sleep on? It's like, I'm not, like, how does that help? But no, it does help. Sleep on it and things will get better. And just to finish, guys, because obviously, listen, most of the people watching this podcast are mostly interested in fat loss. Fat loss and fitness, that kind of stuff. That's kind of what our community's focused on. So just to kind of really motivate you, because all this kind of stuff about meditation, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So maybe not, listen, people are still in this mindset like, I need a return for my time. Why should I sleep? What's it going to do for me in the short term, essentially? So what I would say is, categorically, if you get better sleep, you will have better results. You will lose more fat when you sleep. I had a guy who was talking the other day, recently had a baby, results really, really good, had a baby, he was going from consistent 7 hours sleep every night, now he's getting maybe 4 hours sleep, and again, his results have shown,
even
though he's exercising the same, and his calories and macros are the same, right? So just, I'm going to reference this study, and then we're going to wrap it up, guys. So there was a study done, this guy, Nedel Chiva, in 2010, basically what the study compared two groups who were doing the same, had the same amount of activity, same amount of calories. One group slept for 5.5 hours a night, the other group slept for 8.5 hours a night. And what happened was the group that slept 8.5 hours a night lost more fat than the group who did not, and it was pretty significant. The group that slept 8.5 hours lost on average 3.1 pounds, whereas the other group lost 1.3 pounds. So it's like 2.5 times more fat. So these are pretty, you know, like we're talking 200%. If you want to lose 200% more fat, you got to prioritize your sleep. So I'm going to leave it on that one, guys. We'll definitely touch on this topic again, because again, it's a pretty interesting topic, and it's quite deep too, because again, we spend, what is it, 1/3 of our life sleeping. So it's really important that we have a good strategy and that we're well educated on good quality sleep. All right, guys, well, thanks everybody for watching. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, like, subscribe, comment, share, all that good stuff. Follow us on Instagram. We'll put up the handles on the screen. We hope to see you in the next one. Thanks a million.